97.5, The Fanatic. Now, back to The Fanatic Postgame Show.
With Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Presented by PropSwap.
On 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Well, good evening and welcome into The Fanatic Postgame Show. I'm Andrew Salchunas. No Jamie Lynch this evening, but I got the great Joe Stazak along the ride today. Joe, well, I don't know what you want to say. It was two one-win teams battling on Thursday Night Football. They looked like two one-win teams, but you know what? That second win puts you in first place in the NFC East.
That was an exhibition game. That was maybe the worst win. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
It was kind of embarrassing on both ends. There were some good plays made. You know, Carson Wentz came up huge last two drives, under 10 plays, went up and down the field, helped by five giant penalties. We'll take it. Jason Kelce, almost the GOAT. Evan Ingram drops a pass. It looked like Brady in the Super Bowl right off his fingertips. Really helped the Birds because they really got off to a slow start in the second half. I think Doug Peterson should be released of his duties.
He should be thanking a lot of people.
Oh my goodness,
including Evan Ingram.
You're Troy Aikman after the game. Wow, hats off to Doug Peterson. What?
What did Doug Peterson
do? Is he watching the game?
Yeah, there's a lot of questionable play calls. I mean, especially in the red zone. I don't want to start bashing the Eagles right off the get-go because it was a big win.
Yeah, it was a win.
It was ugly, but it was a big win.
It was a big win.
But I'm sorry.
If you're looking at this season as something you want to do to go into the playoffs and hurt your drafting chances, but why not? It's game seven.
Right. But just last week, we're complaining about the two-point conversion that was failed, and it didn't get much better today.
It was awful today.
I mean, Carson
ran the same play the other way.
Like, all right, so you get a personal foul, and you decide to enforce it On the 2-point conversion to get on the goal line. That's fine.
I would have done that. That's fine.
But then why are you rolling Wentz out?
Well, didn't they roll Jalen Hurts out?
No, Jalen Hurts was the second one when they had the three guys lined up on both sides.
Then Wentz ran to the road. Wasn't it a PFR or
an
RPM?
No, it was just a design play for Wentz to roll to his right. Boston Scott was lead blocker. Why wouldn't you just sneak it? You enforced the 2-point conversion.
Because they got stuffed earlier, maybe, and got stuffed last week on it, and for some reason can't get a push.
I don't know, Joe. A lot of questionable calls, but Carson Wentz, clutch gene. Showed it again today.
He did show a clutch gene. That passed, because after Kelce takes the 15-yarder, they work better with more room. So they have the ball at the 18-yard line. What a throw, and you got to give credit to the little guy, 5'6".
Boston Scott, what a catch.
210, what a catch.
He's
not known for his hands. Phenomenal catch.
You know, we had the game last year against the Giants where, you know, a former broadcaster is not in the business anymore for obvious reasons said, "Who is Boston Scott?" And that was the Boston Scott coming out party with those big plays. And then you saw it again tonight against the New York Giants. And hey, here we are. Win's a win. 2-4-1. Eagles in first place of the NFC East. Again.
That one hurts. I mean, the Giants haven't beaten the Eagles or the Cowboys, I think, since 2016. They were down they were up 14-3 at the half, if you remember, late in the game last year. And Wentz to Ertz twice, once in overtime. Yep. Giants are a little snake bit, but they had the game. I mean, they had the game. The Eagles could not have handed the Giants that game on a bigger silver platter.
There you go, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Run 80 yards. Why not?
How does a white quarterback run for 80 yards and probably should have scored if he doesn't trip on a little bootleg at their own 12?
Yeah, they said the turf monster got him.
Yeah, he tripped over the 20-yard line. That was the longest
maybe
running.
Maybe the old 20-yard line at the vet or something was sticking out. And that's what tripped them up.
Right?
Dude, I don't know what to say. All I know is I'm in a lot better mood now than I was about
a half
15
hour ago,
minutes
yeah,
ago,
15
20
minutes
ago.
It was pretty somber in here.
We were all miserable. We were cursing our heads off left and right before you went on the old Facebook.
Before I went live on Facebook, then we had to clean it up a little bit.
I mean, I'm watching this. I'm like, what are they doing?
It was brutal.
I mean, there's so much to complain about. But there's, again, they are 2-4-1 for a reason. There's a reason why 2-1-win teams played that game today. They're not a good football team.
No.
But they could still be the best of the absolute worst division in maybe the history of football.
Are you concerned by that at all? Because I think it was Tim McManus, who works for us, might come on if he has time.
Yes.
Wrote an article, I think it posted today. Do we really want that? Like, I want to see playoff.
I do too.
It's hard to pull it away from me. Last year, the same thing. When Dallas came in here, we beat them 17-9, went to the playoffs. It was fun.
Yeah.
Dude, get extended football. But they do have to rebuild at some point, and I don't know if it helps them in the draft process, but it's probably too early to talk about that because Dallas is coming apart at the seams.
Yeah.
They're ripping the players are ripping the coaching staff, and you know, they get blown out by the Cardinals on national TV. Who wants to win this division?
Joe, I know that we're on the radio, we try to analyze, we try to take our fandom out of it. Deep down, I'm a fan.
Of course I am. I want to see them win.
I
all
want
the time.
One more game.
Yeah,
right?
So do I.
I want them to host a playoff game
with six wins.
And you know what? I'm okay with it. And here's the other thing. I want Carson Wentz to actually play in a playoff
play in
game.
Yeah.
I know the stat sheet says that he's played in a playoff game. That didn't count. He got knocked out in the first quarter by a cheap shot from Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep.
I won the play in a playoff game. And I'll say this. If they lost that game today, that locker room's dead. And they're not winning probably against the Cowboys, or maybe they are, but you get what I'm saying. Like, that locker room is dead. There's no coming back from that. The fact that they won tonight and pulled it off the way that they did.
Incredible.
That locker room, I'm sure, is fired up right now.
We'll hear
from the head coach, Doug Peterson, coming up in a little bit. And I'm sure that locker room's going nuts. And they don't care about the final score. They don't care about how it happened. All they care about is that they won and the season is still alive.
And a come-from-behind win for Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
Against the Giants.
You mentioned it. Three straight three and outs to start the second half. Give me the numbers.
They went nine plays for 12 yards in about 4 minutes on their first three drives.
Sounds absolutely terrible. Carson Wentz finished with 359 yards passing today. Mm-hmm. 359.
Yeah, he went up and down the field.
That's his best day. The way the game started, their first drive, their opening drive seemed flawless. Down the field, the first quarter they looked good.
Yeah.
It was very reminiscent of the Washington football team week one, where the first two drives they went downfield, they scored a touchdown, a field goal. Now, Jake Elliott made a field goal the first time, missed the second one. Which that's another conversation.
You can't miss a 29-yarder.
No, you can't.
Yeah, he's struggling. I know Dave Phipp came out and gave him a vote of confidence as special teams coach this week, but and I get it. A 53-yarder. He's still under league average, 38% from outside 50 since 2018. Everyone else is like 54%.
Yep.
Misses a 57-yarder in Pittsburgh. That's fine. 29-yarder after they get a turnover with 44 seconds left in the half.
Finally, you get a turnover.
You get a turnover.
Put you in good field position.
A gift.
Yeah,
a gift.
He is now 8-for-12 this season, and it's funny. Dylan McKinnon, who's cutting audio today. He says, I'm glad they missed the two-point conversion at the end there because it would have been 21-18 if they made it. They probably would have gone field goal.
They would have kicked the field goal.
Good thing they didn't because they had to score the touchdown.
Turned out they had to punch it in, yeah.
Worked out perfectly.
That's right, yeah.
610-632-0975. This is the Fanatic Post Game Show. It's presented by PropSwap. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Find a bird's bet right now with the best odds in the country only on PropSwap.com. So we got a quick break. You'll hear from the head coach, Doug Peterson, coming up momentarily. He'll probably be on in about 10 minutes, as we will. We got a full board already. We can't wait to talk to you guys. Yes, was it an ugly win? Yeah, who cares? A win is a win. That's what they say, right?
That's right.
He's Joe Stazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is the Fanatic Post Game Show.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yes, this is the Fanatic Post Game Show. No Jamie Lynch today. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside Joe Stazak, and you heard it. Fanatic Post Game Show presented by PropSwap. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Find a bird's bet right now with the best odds in the country only on PropSwap.com. Joe, there are still people angry that Carson Wentz had a good game. They're angry. I gotta go. How can you call Carson Wentz clutch?
He was clutch.
I don't know, the two fourth quarter touchdown passes.
That last pass was tremendous. And the 59-yarder to Hightower, that was big.
Yeah, and the drives that it took to get there as well.
They're going to point to the red zone pick.
Terrible interception. Let me say that right now for those of you who hate Carson Wentz for no reason. That interception, terribly thrown ball. That ball has to be thrown away. You can't just throw it up. And also, the cross field pass that was luckily incomplete.
Yeah, the Fulgham.
That ball could have been intercepted and returned for a touchdown. Yeah. Am I saying Carson Wentz is flawless? Hell no.
Right.
This team isn't flawless.
Oh, my goodness.
But Carson Wentz, again, when he deserves credit, you got to give it to him. He was clutch tonight.
As bad as you think, and you're probably right, how bad the Eagles are or how they look. On the last two series that the Eagles scored touchdowns and the punt to Jackson, DeSean Jackson, the Giants committed five penalties in the last 6 minutes. Oof. Five penalties. Yep. More than half of their penalties were committed in the last 6 minutes. Since I brought that out, let me ask you something, because he got hurt and he might, we don't know how bad the injury
is. That was bad.
I know they were looking for a home run there, but they had plenty of time to move the ball down the field. Do you put DeSean Jackson back there too? He's your best receiver. He's coming off an injury. Do you put him back there to catch a punt?
Yeah, only because, no offense to Greg Ward.
Or, yeah, they don't
or
have anybody
Boston
else. Or Boston Scott.
Right. Or they tried Huntley today returning a kick.
And Rieger's out.
These guys can't return anything, whether it's a punt or a kickoff. So maybe you try to provide a spark, just like Jalen Hurts provided the spark last week on offense. Hopefully DeSean Jackson could have provided the spark there with the punt return. And it's just unfortunate what happened. The injury wasn't even on the initial hit. That's what I thought it was at first. But when they showed that slowed down replay, it was the late hit.
Should have been two penalties,
by the way. Because it brought his leg back.
You can throw two flags on a play for a personal foul. Should have been two penalties.
They should have. And, you know, you're probably going to lose him for the season.
That hurts. He's your best receiver. Pretty much your best receiver. Fulgham's been awesome.
Yeah, but the last couple of weeks, Joe, he hasn't been there.
I know.
And Fulgham's played like a star, right?
He's a star. Kid's a star.
Which is why and we had a tweet earlier when we first started the show. I just want to give the guy credit. He actually wants us to keep on ripping the Eagles or being tough. It's Kevin. He goes, bash away. It's deserving. He's happy that they won, but he said bash away. So you do have Travis Fulgham. You have DeSean Jackson before he gets hurt. You have Greg Ward. Richard Rodgers had 80-plus receiving yards today.
He had a couple big catches last week.
Why would you design a two-point conversion, a fourth and goal jump ball to a man named Hakeem Butler who does not have a reception in his career?
Can I ask you something? They were down 4 points. I know Elliott missed the 29-yarder.
Yes.
He's a professional kicker. I doubt he's going to miss something that's just over what used to be an extra point. When you know you probably have an opportunity to get down there later, I would have taken three. I know you guys didn't like it. I like aggressiveness. I thought it would have been smart to take three there. Having said that, that was a terrible call.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awful play call. I wanted to go for it, and I was okay with going for it. I hear what you're saying about the field goal, and plus the Eagles' defense had played well.
Yeah, they played well up till then.
Until that final drive when Evan Engram drops the ball. They had stopped the run all game, too. That drive, it seemed like they were getting everything they wanted up the middle. I mean, they were just gashing the Eagles' rush defense. But before that, you're right. I mean, the Eagles' defense was playing well, so maybe you just do take the three and you're only down one. But to me,
is
I don't know.
Is that being aggressive, or is that really an indictment on Jake Elliott?
I think it was being aggressive because that was also the first good drive of the second half. Because the previous three drives were the three and outs, if I'm not mistaken.
Three and outs to start.
So you finally have something going downfield, and maybe Doug goes, what offense am I going to see after this series? Is it going to be moving downfield again? Or is it going to be the offense that we just saw the previous three series where they went three and out, so I better go for it now? I was okay with going for it, but you can't design a play where it's 1-on-1 jump ball for Hakeem Butler.
That was awful.
He has zero catches in his career.
Hakeem Butler. No catches in his career. And they're going to him on one of the biggest plays of the game.
Like, think about it. The Jason Kroom touchdown last week was a breakup, right? Like, you know, Carson then starts rolling all over the place, and there's Kroom wide open. Today's was a design play.
It was like a fade to him. It was a terrible call.
I don't know.
He said on the radio last week he ran out of calls inside the 20. I can't believe that happened. Second of all, I can't believe he admitted it. You can't run a play that works. You don't have to always have a new play. A play that works.
Yes.
And to me, the Carson rollout to the right was almost as bad as him running the ball to the left and got blown up with a 2-point conversion.
His lead blocker was Boston Scott on that play.
And he makes a Tom Brady throw to Boston Scott to give the team the lead, and then they take the ball out of his hands and put Hurts in. I know it's an option roll, run or throw, but he's completed one career pass. I would have kept it in Carson's hands if you're going to throw the ball there.
He also had three offensive linemen.
Yeah. I know.
He had three offensive linemen because they had the guys lined up. They had three men bunched up on the left and the right.
Right.
Sometimes it's the smartest man in the room syndrome that drives me insane. So apparently Doug Peterson is a little delayed right now. So let's get to some callers. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. In the end, Eagles, 2-4-1. It's a W. Let's go to Joe in the cell. Joe, you're on the Fanatic Post Game Show. Joe. All right, Joe's not there. Let's try Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on the Fanatic.
Yo, what's going on, Andrew and Big Dog? How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Drew?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, this was a hell of a game to watch. I mean, if they lost this game, I think it was pretty much the season. But they pulled it off somehow, and I'm going to keep, keeping the faith as long as they keep winning. I think the next game coming up versus Dallas is going to definitely be a make-or-break game. If they can win that game, then things might be looking ahead for us, versus the Giants again. But what's really killing me is, we just beat Giants by a point. What are we going to do versus teams like Seattle and Green Bay and Arizona when they come up on the schedule?
We'll get there when we get there, Drew. Let's try to continue a win streak beating the Cowboys next week. I get what you're saying. I'm not feeling good. That's why I keep on saying you got to win these next three games. The next two now, if you want to keep this season alive. Because if you beat the Cowboys and the Giants again, you're 4-4-1. And what's the magic number we keep on saying? Six.
It's like 6 wins.
6-9-1.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, you got a tough schedule, but you just need two more wins after that.
Yeah, no, the next two games are going to be huge, absolutely. But then they come into a pretty tough stretch of five games. And that's where I think, our season's going to really be made or broken, so... I'm happy with the win tonight. Wasn't a pretty one, but I'll take it. And go Birds.
Yeah, go Birds, Drew. I appreciate the call, man.
Coming into tonight before this win, they had to win 50% of the remaining games. Could they do that? And they'd get to 6 wins if they did that. Did you think, if you thought about it, coming into this game before they play the Giants, can the Birds win half of their games to finish? And even if they do, that's 6 wins.
Yeah, just hearing half, I immediately go no.
No, right?
But... So when you look at it, so you got the Giants you beat today.
Right.
Cowboys-Giants after that. Listen, I keep on saying 3-0. Do I feel great about that 3-0 prediction after tonight? No, I don't feel great. But again, I think that locker room's going nuts right now. I think they're loving it. Doug Peterson normally speaks first, so it seems like the players have spoken. Boston Scott's spoken. Jalen Mills has spoken. Doug Peterson is actually coming up to the podium right now. But what I'm saying is that locker room's so fired up that Doug probably said, you know what? Go out there, boys. Go in front of the media. Let's go to Doug Peterson right now.
I think that he's going to be able to make the plays even despite some of the breakdowns in pass protection.
Yeah, you don't want your quarterback to be hit, the amount of times he has here in the last couple of weeks. But again, we're playing some good fronts, and we got to figure out and do a better job of protecting him. And then he has to do a better job, too, either throwing the ball away or trying to escape with his legs. But we know there's going to be a hit a time or two, and that's part of playing quarterback. And he's a tough guy, and he's hanging in there.
John McMullen, and then Zach Berman.
Hey, Doug. Looks like you were clicking early with tempo, and then things slowed down until about 6 minutes left in the game. What do you think? What do you think kickstarted the offense, and what do you think were some of those red zone issues in the middle of the game?
Well, the red zone is something we got to look at. This is the first game where we struggled a little bit in the red zone. And credit the guys. We got down there a few times. And it's one of the things you can't do when you're down there is obviously turn the ball over. Can't have sacks, can't have penalties. And we had a little bit of all those tonight. And yet we were still able to overcome it. We're going to take a look at it over the weekend be better there.
Zach, and then Jeff McLean.
Hey, Doug, after Jason Kelsey's penalty pushes you back to first and 18 there, or first and goal from the 18, what was the plan there as far as the play calling, and did you want to get it all in one play on that pass to Boston Scott?
Well, I mean, the goal was to ultimately score. We had to score the touchdown, and I believe we still had the two timeouts, so we had plenty of time. Obviously had field position, so the actual down and distance didn't matter at the time. I mean, it was still first down. We were going to use our timeouts when necessary. And our guys overcame it. In Boston, they finished off that drive with a great throw, great catch. It was a great way to end that drive.
Jeff, and then Les.
Doug, speaking of overcoming, you guys overcame that fourth down play on the corner fade to Hakeem Butler. Was he the read there, the first read there? Can you describe what went into your thinking on that play?
Initially he was heading to the wrong side of the field. When he got back over to the right side of the field or the right side of the formation, he was uncovered. And when we snapped the ball, the defender had gotten back over there just in enough time to really knock the ball away. He's a big athletic guy, and we put that play in specifically for him, and the Giants made a play.
Les, and then Nick Fiero.
Hey, Doug. It looked like for so long there in the second half, your offense was just totally stifled. And then once you're down 11, it sprung to life. What happened there? Did you change what you were? Did you make some different play calls? Was it, what happened to make this, to get the offense back in gear?
I mean, we always evaluate, between series, how a defense is defending, and, we make some subtle adjustments and try to put some guys in position. This is all part of game planning and part of in-game adjustments. And we were able to do that. We knew once we got down, the two scores, we were going to be in 2-minute mode anyway. And our guys just made some plays. We made a deep throw there to John Hightower that helped us eventually score, and made a couple other nice throws. Rich Rod, came up big for us on a scramble play. And, you're just going to need some of that stuff, when you're in that situation. But, we were in 2-minute mode anyway, with about 6 or 7 minutes to go in the game, knowing we were down two scores just to get us back in the game.
Nick, and then John Clark.
Hi, Doug. You had two guys that came back from injuries today that got injured again with new injuries, Deshaun, Lane Johnson, two big parts of your offense. How does your team react to so many injuries like that? And do you have any kind of update on us, them?
I don't have any updates right now. Probably get more tomorrow, or at least through the weekend, with some time off for the players this weekend. And, it's really good to get those two guys back. And Deshaun was active in the game early and tried to continue to get him some touches as the game went on. And then having Lane back, he was in, he got knocked out for a play or two, came back, played really tough as well. So both of those guys. So it was really a shot in the arm for the offense to get those guys back.
We have time for two more, so we'll go John Clark and Chris Franklin.
Doug, in the history of this league, a lot of people judge quarterbacks sometimes their greatness on comebacks. What has Carson showed you the last couple of weeks, leading you guys to 34 points in the fourth quarter and maybe taking that step in the pressure moments?
Well, it just shows that he's taking that step in the right direction to be one of the top quarterbacks in this league. And you're absolutely right. I mean, quarterbacks sometimes get measured by fourth quarter comebacks. I know that's, part of a stat that gets recorded, and he's done that. The last couple of weeks we've put ourselves in position to really either tie the game a week ago and of course this week win the game, and it's what it takes. I mean, especially in the situation that we are, health wise as a team, we know these games are going to be probably closer than we would like. But it is good to see your quarterback stand in there, go toe-to-toe, take some shots, and still lead your team down the field for the win.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Doug. Jake Elliott missed that 29-yard field goal earlier in the game. From your vantage point, was there anything wrong with the mechanics of the whole entire field goal operation there, and did it affect any of your decisions later on in the game?
No, there was nothing wrong. Just a little bit of a pull, you know, by Jake. It's uncharacteristic of him, especially at that distance. Still got a lot of confidence in Jake, and I'll put him back out there, and in any of those situations again.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Well, there he is, Doug Peterson, following the Eagles' 22-21 win over the New York Football Giants. He doesn't really have any updates on the injuries, but he dropped a don't just look at the stat sheet for Carson. I think you can look at the stat sheet. He threw for 359 yards. He had a good game today.
They had they scored 12 points in the fourth quarter this week and 22 last week.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I always say quarterbacks make their bones in the fourth quarter and in overtime, and he's been doing that.
That's five touchdowns to zero interceptions in the fourth quarter. And listen, again, he didn't play perfect today, and there is a lot of arguments going on social media right now, because social media is always a fun place to be. But he came up when it mattered most, and it was that fourth quarter. You can't start a second half with three straight three and outs. You can't. You can't start your opening series 3 weeks in a row with a three and out, because they did that last week against the Ravens, the previous week against the Steelers, previous week against the 49ers. This week, the 15 scripted plays led to a touchdown. That was a good sign. But it looks like they used all of that on the first drive and didn't have anything left in the second half.
No, they have to get off to better. I mean, today was a good start against the Ravens. Five of their first six drives, three and outs, and the other one was a fumble in the first half, and then they got off to a bad start in the second half after stopping the Giants on the opening kickoff. And the next drive after the three punts, they go out on downs, and then they had two drives left and 71, I think, and 78 yards. And only 21, by the way. I know I said five penalties. Four, actually, aside from the personal foul. It counted for 21 yards out of the 149 or 50. So that was mostly Carson.
Yeah.
And Boston Scott did a nice job, but a nice big chunk run on that last drive to get him down inside the three-yard line. And then, of course, Kelsey. It was just a way to cap off the first six, seven games of this season. What is that, seven so far? With the Kelsey penalty, moving them back because they were right about to score. And then Carson Wentz comes over with a brilliant throw.
Yeah, that throw was, how often do you see that?
Brilliant.
That passer.
Brilliant throw.
And he was clutch.
That was big time.
People might not want to hear it. He was clutch.
No, he was clutch today.
He was clutch last week.
Last week he was
terrible, terrible two-point conversion call away from tying that game.
Yeah, that's a shame because Doug hasn't helped. I don't think Doug's helped him a whole lot. The conversions have been horrible.
No, Doug hasn't helped him.
Running out of plays, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I know. That's bad. But the one thing I give Doug the benefit of the doubt for is we always do the whole, we haven't seen, we saw Carson before in 2017. That means he still has it in him, right? We hear that all the time. Doug obviously called plays well in 2017. Now he had Frank Reich and John DeFilippo with him, so
sure.
Who knows if that was an added bonus. But he also had better personnel back then. He had Torrey Smith, who was still at speed. Alshon was 3 years younger. Zach Ertz was 3 years younger. You looked at your running backs. LeGarrette Blount was just bulldozing people over. Darren Sproles was still healthy before he got hurt. Jay Ajayi was a huge addition for you. Hopefully now that you're starting to get some better personnel, Fulgham's becoming a player. Dallas Goedert's going to come back healthy soon. Jalen Reagor's going to come back healthy soon. Miles Sanders will come back healthy soon. Maybe you have some decent personnel. His play calling gets a little bit better, too.
Yeah, you would think so.
Because it's a vanilla offense.
It's pretty vanilla. They were really creative, I thought, when Frank Reich was here.
Yes.
And again, I always say, I'm looking at the difference. And point out the major difference, and it's Frank Reich, and like you mentioned, John DeFilippo. But I don't see, at times they can look creative, and then they go back to vanilla.
Yes.
And you're like, wait a second, where was, on that last series, you did this, this, and this.
Yep.
And I don't like a lot of gadgetry. And I know he was a spark last week, was hurt. So I think there's a time and place for him. And that's okay to start, kind of incorporating him in the offense. I just don't like in a two-point conversion, you come in basically cold. And you're asked to throw a huge two-point conversion because the Giants still had 40 seconds left. And, excuse me, they get the ball to 25, they have to move 25 and another 20, 50 yards. They can do that in 40 seconds. I know they had no timeouts left, but it's possible.
Yeah.
So that was a big conversion there. I just don't like taking the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands there.
Two plays that I really liked today. In the opening drive, they did the fake handoff, and there was the end around to Deshaun.
Which that was the first play of the game.
Right out the gate, 15 yards. Yep. And then on their third series, they faked a reverse to Hurts. So this is when you have Jalen Hurts on the field.
Right.
It was a fake handoff, fake reverse to Hurts. The initial fake handoff was to Scott, who then ran a screen pass. And it, you know, 15 yards. Yeah.
That's good. That's a good play.
I'll take 15 yards.
That's a good play. Yeah, they looked a little bit more like a Kyle Shanahan offense with a lot of movement and stimulation and a lot of things for the defense to keep their eye on. You know, it's all about deception. And, you know, if you're going to be predictable, you're going to end up in a lot of three and outs and with a vanilla offense, like you said.
Of course. All right, let's go to Austin in Collegeville. Austin, you're on the Fanatic postgame show.
Hey, just going off what you guys were just saying, I totally agree. Like, they started out so just, like, quick movement. There was a lot of misdirection and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, like, second and third quarter, it was just bland. Like, there was no, I don't know where Deshaun Jackson went. Like, there was no speed on offense. It was just short routes all the time, just boring. Either way, the only thing I take out of this game, or the biggest thing I take out of this game, Carson Wentz, he's not the problem. Like, he's the only reason you won this football game. I mean, he was getting thrown at. There was defensive ends, defensive middle linebackers coming in on him.
I mean, Matt Pryor had another bad game off, you know, on the offensive line. It's because Lane Johnson again gets hurt, and that's what you're dealing with. Lane Johnson, I'm not saying he's got the Jason Peters curse on him.
Starting to look like him.
But we've seen it the last three weeks where Lane Johnson's coming off the field, and it's not like you're going to Vitae. You're going to Matt Pryor.
Yeah.
He's coming up, but like at the same time, I feel like Lane is just like he is trying to be out there.
Oh,
like,
yeah. He's a baller.
There's no doubt he's trying to be out there. The second point I have on this game, why did it take until the last, you know, 5.5 minutes for them to actually throw a deep ball? Like, I mean, that Hightower throw, that was the first time I saw it.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful pass, perfectly thrown, Austin. Appreciate the call. Perfectly thrown. And that's what got him back in the game.
59 yards. It was the only catch of the day. It was a nice crossing route, wide open. But
it was the only deep ball all game. So I actually, in my notes, here you go. I got it right here. It was on the Eagles' fourth drive. Oh, no, sorry. This was the fifth.
It was the
No, this is the first drive. Sorry. Deshaun Jackson had the end around for 15 yards.
Right.
But then he had two comeback catches for 10 yards. Where he came back to the ball and caught it twice. I thought that they were setting up a deep pass for later in the game, right? So the corner, Deshaun keeps on coming back, keeps on coming back. So, you know, maybe you do a double move, and then boom, Deshaun goes deep. Never saw it. And I don't know if it was because Deshaun was on a pitch count or something. Joe, I don't know. But
you would think that he's now healthy somewhat. Well, not anymore, they would take a couple cracks down the field.
Yeah, you would think. All right, we got one open line right now, 610-632-0975. We will continue the conversation reacting to the Eagles' 22-21 win over the Giants. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is the Fanatic Postgame Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Fanatic Postgame Show. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside Joe Stazak. No Jamie Lynch today. He's got a thing called the morning show. That comes your way in about 5.5 hours.
You still do that?
Yeah.
You do a morning show?
So yeah, 5.5 hours. Jamie's got to be on the air.
My man.
So I forgive him for not being on tonight. Glad to be with you, Joe. The Fanatic Postgame Show is presented by PropSwap. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Find a bird's bet right now with the best odds in the country only on PropSwap.com. Now, the best thing I'm seeing on social media right now, aside from somehow people still ripping Carson Wentz, do you know the win probability charts?
Yeah.
So they have the Giants win probability chart, and it's got the static line. It goes up, and then it obviously shoots down.
Sure.
they have Daniel Jones running and then falling down as the win probability drops. And it's just perfect. How did he fall?
His teammates were laughing at him, too.
Dude, how did he fall?
I don't know.
There was nobody in front of him.
Nobody in front of him.
Was he just so shocked, you think, that he...
He took one bad step, and then it kind of begat another one and another one, and he just lost his balance and just like, really? He outran the brothers, the defensive backs. I mean, Roby Coleman gave up.
He gave up.
He pretty much gave up.
Roby Coleman is lucky that Jalen Mills didn't give up.
Yes.
Because he could have gotten back up if Mills doesn't touch
him. That's exactly right.
Now, you know, regardless, Giants end up scoring the touchdown and actually ran some clock off. That might have actually helped the Eagles.
Right. It ended up helping the Eagles.
There could have been like 2 minutes left on the clock.
Because Roby Coleman had an interference penalty on third down that gave him a first down.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game today.
No, he did not.
And Avante Maddox early, remember, he was the one covering Golden Tate on the touchdown. That feels like ages ago,
right?
That Golden Tate touchdown.
That's 7 hours ago.
Because they had nothing going on offense. The Giants didn't either.
Oh, was that Matt? I thought that was LeBlanc.
No. I'm sorry. It was Craven LeBlanc.
Sorry. Right.
So Craven LeBlanc covered in, and he's another guy where we crowned this guy.
2 years ago. Remember he came in and did such an awesome job?
Jim Schwartz didn't know who he was
right.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
He said, some guy in our scout department, Craven LeBlanc, I didn't know who he was.
Makes the
and
team.
He played well
played
2 years
well,
ago.
Really well.
But, you know, we crowned him Asante Samuel. You know, Lito Shepard, Bobby Taylor, Sheldon Brown, and yeah, we're not there.
So if the season ended today, who would the Eagles be playing in a playoff game?
Oh, your boy, Nicky Six and the Chicago Bears.
Never nervous Nicky on a home game, too.
Lincoln Financial Field.
Season ended today, the Bears would come here and the Eagles would play them.
In front of
How's everyone doing?
A packed crowd of 8,000 Eagles fans.
Wentz v. Foles,
regulations.
Baby. Wentz v. Foles.
Would that not be the most perfect storyline?
Unbelievable.
And Wentz needs to win? He's shot.
He needs to win.
Mentally.
He's still chasing.
I mean, he's still a damn statue. I did a show when that statue went up.
Oh, really?
And I got crushed.
What do you mean?
I said that statue shouldn't be there.
Oh, I love the statue.
Yeah, I know, but it shouldn't be there. Carson Wentz, I'm sure that he has his own entrance, right? The players have their own entrance, but that statue's inside the building that my man Carson Wentz is to play in. And no, you can't remove the statue. It shouldn't have been there in the first place. Carson's playing with demons,
Tori,
man.
He hates that statue.
I'm sure he can't stand the statue.
I know what you're saying. It's like your franchise quarterback has to walk by that every day.
You got rid of the singing lady down at Xfinity Live. Why don't you move the dog?
Kate Smith?
Yeah, move it over there. It's an empty space.
So mad at the Flyers for doing that, but anyway.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah, another one.
All right, let's go to Ryan on the cell. Ryan, you're on the postgame show.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment, a couple comments. One about the Hakeem Butler play. You know, that wasn't a bad play call. I mean, because first of all, that was pass interference.
Yes, no, you're right. That's the first thing I pointed out. It should have been called pass interference.
But then the second of all, he had at least 5 inches on the guy.
Yeah, but Ryan, here's my thing. He does not have a career reception. Like it was fourth and goal, and again, nothing against Hakeem Butler. He's far more talented than I am. He's in the NFL, but he doesn't have a catch in his career. I would rather you design a play for the hottest receiver in the NFL in Travis Fulgham or Greg Ward, who Carson Wentz clearly has a connection with. The second to last touchdown game, a beautiful pass to the corner of the end zone, front corner at the pylon to Greg Ward. Richard Rodgers had a good game today.
Really good game.
Why wouldn't you go to one of those three guys and not the guy who never has a catch in his career?
Well, did you hear what Doug said? Doug said that they like his size, so mm-hmm. they do design plays for him in the red zone. On that particular play, no Giant lined up against him. He was wide open.
Right.
By the time they got the snap out there, a defender came over, and when the ball got there, like you said, probably should have been interference. He knocked the ball away. So maybe they don't go to. I don't know. Maybe they don't go to him if everyone lined up correctly. I'm just saying.
And second of all, I just wanted to point out that this offensive line is one of the worst offensive lines in football. I have never seen football this bad. Offensive line, man.
Ryan, I'm so with you, man. And here's the thing. I don't know what you do at this point.
What do you do? You had Sua Opeta playing tonight.
But I'm not trading picks.
No.
You only have 7 picks in this draft.
No.
I'm not trading away. Like, here's the thing. The team that I have,
not to salvage
that the Eagles have,
season.
You got to roll with.
Not to salvage the season.
The only
Don't
trade I would
picks.
Make is if I'm moving, like, Zach Ertz. You know, I saw right. Bill Barnwell always has done a great job, writes for ESPN.com. He had a trade proposal where it was the Eagles send Zach Ertz and a 7th to the Arizona Cardinals for my man from Temple, Hassan Reddick, linebacker.
Okay.
And a 3rd-round pick. So you get a 3rd-round pick in return, a linebacker who you desperately need on a final year of his deal, so it's not like he's going to be eating up the books next year. So you get Hassan Reddick and a 3rd-round pick in return for Ertz and a 7th. Like, would you do something like that? You get a pick in return, and it's a higher round.
What's the pick?
3rd-round.
A 3rd-round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I consider
it. You give up a 7th
sure.
for a 3rd, you
I
give up Ertz,
that.
Get his money off the books, and right. that's what you have to do at the end of the season.
They're probably going to have to do that, yes.
Yes, you have to do a lot of guys.
$20 million over the cap next year.
And it's going to be a smaller cap next season
right.
because of COVID. Field Yates put out a report over the week that Fletcher Cox, they shifted around his salary so that maybe they do make a move, but they shifted around his salary, gave him a bonus, but it's going to affect next year's cap. So you're already in cap hell next year.
They're already in cap. They're the second highest team over the cap, I think, behind the Saints, who are so high over the cap next year, like 80-plus.
But you feel good about the Saints, at least skill position. Drew Brees looks like he's at the end, but
probably.
Other than that, you feel good about their skill positions.
I like the Saints team. Yeah, except for you said, like, Drew Brees.
Yeah, but for the Eagles, you have that money tied up in guys like Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, who it's a shame what happened to him today, but is probably one of the worst contracts ever.
Bad.
He's played, what, four or five games?
Jeffries was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. He played, what, he played one game last year and then technically played in the Atlanta game. Got text from my buddy Kyle. This is from ESPN. Chance to win the NFC East. Eagles are atop at 61%.
That's gone up.
Cowboys, 23%.
That's gone up.
How about that?
It was in the 50s earlier this week. Now it's up to 61.
63. Yeah.
With a 6-9-1 record, Joe.
With a 6-9-1. If they win half their games, including tonight.
You're fighting Philadelphia Eagles. 6-9-1. Hosting possibly Nick Foles and the Chicago Bears. Unreal.
That'd be fantastic.
Let's go to Arvin on the cell. Arvin, you're on the postgame show.
Hey, guys, I've never played quarterback in the NFL, but I'm a chronic Negladelphian. I just think Nick Gary should not be wearing that dark visor. I thought that was reserved for really high-end players like
that. You have to be good if you wear the visor. You have to be. You're spot on. The last guy, you have to either be really cool or you have to be talented. And the last guy that I really remember wearing the dark visor that was cool and talented, LeGarrette Blount.
Love LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah. Fletcher Cox wears it too, right?
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not going anywhere in this season with these linebackers. So let's just enjoy the development of the young guys. I say that's the way. Trust the process. That's the way of the season, right?
Yeah, trust the process. That's what we're doing now with the Eagles. You're not tanking, but you're getting close to a rebuild.
Yeah,
that's why I wouldn't be giving up picks right now.
No.
I would not try
Thanks,
to.
Arvin.
But here's the thing. Aren't you concerned? And Tim McManus brought this up today in his article that he's hearing that Howie's, you know, kind of doing his thing. He's behind the scenes now, trying to make some moves, getting caught into the playoff spirit. And I get it. That's his job. But his job is also to look into the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, they win this division with 6 wins and giving up some picks just to get there because they're so unhealthy, which is a problem. If you think about the last 3 years, it's been ridiculous. I don't think that's a good idea.
Joe,
I don't think it's a good idea.
6-9-1,
yeah.
You make the playoffs, no trades or whatever.
Right.
I'm still not applauding you.
Right.
I'm happy as a fan that
sure.
I get to see an extra Eagles game. But, I mean, Howie Roseman's seat is still warm. Because, let's face it, you got lucky with Greg Ward.
Lucky.
You got lucky with Travis Fogle.
Yep.
It's not like you, oh wow, Howie Roseman
found this
gem in Travis Fogle. No, he got cut by the Lions, cut by the Packers. You signed him to your practice squad because you knew that Alshon Jeffrey was probably not going to be back in his 6 weeks. And then you desperately needed him because of all the other injuries. You don't get credit for that.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that seat's if it wasn't Mr. Lurie, you know, running the show, I think that he's hot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I said before the season started that I would give him till the end of the year before I turned the burner, you know, a little Bunsen burner under the seat. Now, the Bunsen burner is on. It's on. Is it flaming hot where you can't sit down now? Not yet. But
what about Doug's? Where is Doug?
No, Doug's staying.
How warm is the seat for Doug?
I don't think it's warm.
Okay.
I don't think it's warm at all. Because, again, I'll say what I opened the postgame show up with. Carson's dealing with the receivers and the bad offensive line. So is Doug.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Doug's fault that this offensive line has Sua Peta at left guard. Right? It's not his fault that Matt Pryor's at right tackle. It's Howie Rosen's fault for not drafting and developing depth.
17 offensive starters have missed time this year.
Yeah, that's not Doug's fault.
No, it's not his fault.
And you know what? They've played well.
Considering
everything that's going on the last 4 weeks. Niners win. Steelers and game,
they put up 57 points. They scored 28 and 29. That's 57 against two of the better defenses in the league with what they had to deal with.
They were the two best scoring defenses in meaning points allowed.
Points allowed.
And the Eagles scored, like you just said, 20 and 29.
Yep.
That's pretty damn good.
Carson Wentz is first. Here, I got this. Carson Wentz, first career victory after trailing by 10 points in the fourth quarter.
How about that?
How about that?
Oh, that's the fourth quarter comeback. Everybody says he's never had.
And you want to know his numbers in the fourth quarter this year? Fourth quarter. Well, let's do first quarter. First through
Give me the quarter by quarter breakdown.
Well, I only have what do I have? I have first three quarters and fourth quarter. First three quarters, 4 touchdowns, 6 picks. Not too much.
Not great.
Fourth quarter, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks.
That's really good.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.